Good evening, folks, and a hearty welcome to our drive-in theater. We have a wonderful evening's entertainment lined up for you.
One that will provide several hours of pleasurable relaxation.
Washington, London, Paris, Moscow are key targets. The whole world is under attack.
Who built it? The Russians? The Chinese? Martians? Canadians? I don't care! All I know is we didn't build it, and that's reason enough to assume the worst and blow up the Cane of Cum.
For 100,000 years, it was buried in the snow and ice. Now it has found a place to live. Inside, where no one can see it.
Soldiers and their weapons would be powerless before the onslaught of the beast. The beast. The beast. The beast from 20,000 fathoms.
Guns, tanks, bombs. They're like toys against them.
It's indestructible. It's indescribable. Nothing can stop it. The nation and then the world could fall before the blood-curdling threat of...
Sci-Fi Double Feature Drive-In Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, Godzillas and Mothras, aliens, and those predators. Welcome to the Sci-Fi Double Feature Drive-In Podcast.
Woo!
Whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop.
I am your conspiracy-loving host, Alisa Weglin, and sitting next to me is my radioactive partner in crime, Jarrett the Kaiju Man Weglin.
Yeah!
Oh, yeah. We conclude our double feature of Kaiju Jump in Time with our Lord and Savior.
Lord.
The Alpha and Omega.
Oh, yes.
The one, the only Godzilla. Praise him. In Godzilla versus King Ghidorah.
Oh, yes. 1991.
The year I was born.
Oh, yes. This is her birth film.
This is my birth Godzilla.
She was 2 months old when this came out.
Yes. I was just a wee babe.
Just a wee bae. Just a wee little bae.
Just a wee little one. So, yes. This was actually... This is probably, like, my top three favorite Godzilla films of, like, all time.
Oh, yeah?
I am going to have to say it's probably this one, Shin Godzilla, and I'm sorry, but Godzilla versus Ghidorah
is
my favorite of all time.
I love Ghidorah, but, I mean, you haven't seen too much yet.
I've seen all of them. Good portion, okay? Like, I've
a
seen
good
more than
portion.
The
portion.
I've seen more than the average person.
Than the average bear.
I've seen more than the average bear.
Okay.
I've seen like 10 Godzilla movies now.
Okay, so a third.
I'm getting there.
You're getting there.
I'm getting there. So, yeah, I mean, where does this land for you on a scale?
It's probably my favorite of the Heisei era. So,
yeah,
I mean, that's a good thing to say. I really do. It's really in my, probably in my top 10. It's really high up there, I think. So,
I mean, top 5 would be high up there. Top 10 is one third.
It's just got a lot to fight for. I mean, it's got a good take on the origin story of Godzilla. I love seeing what we'll be talking about. It's got the Godzillasaurus, the species of Godzilla's dinosaur that he came from.
I know. I don't know how this is not your favorite. It has dinosaurs that turn into Godzilla. It has time travel.
Time travel, yes.
And mutating weird flying rats, which is totally your favorite. And
it has
really bad 90s special effects.
Oh, yeah. I have to... I don't think it would crack my top 5. it's in my top 10, I have to say. I don't know.
You can't commit. You can't commit to Godzilla versus King Ghidorah.
No, top 10 is a good thing to say, though, I think.
Well, for you, it's hard.
For 30 films? I mean, there's a new one coming out this week, by the way.
Ooh, yes. Everybody, the Godzilla anime?
Yep, it comes out tomorrow.
Yes, and it's going to be on Netflix, correct?
Yeah, the very first non-live-action Godzilla film. So.
Yes, and I mean, if you check out the trailers and stuff, it looks incredible.
His design is very weird. His nickname is Earth Godzilla. So he's like, it looks like he's made of like a trees and like plants. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. So I mean, by the time you hear this, it will be on your Netflix near you.
Yeah.
So tune in, drop in, and definitely, you know, let us know what you think.
Yeah, it sounds.
Tell us.
Spoiler alert. That we always say this, but you should know there's a spoiler at the very, very beginning.
I think we say this every episode. We go, spoiler alert. Okay, well, you should know this because...
We are talking about an older movie right now anyways, but since we're talking about a brand new movie that comes out this week...
You're gonna spoil something?
I mean, it's not
Jarrett, we haven't even seen it yet.
I know about it already.
Jarrett, don't spoil. No.
I'm just saying one thing.
Putting this in the kibosh.
Kiboshing it. There's supposed to be two Godzillas in this movie.
Jarrett, you spoiled it for everybody.
I said no. It's not spoiling the whole movie.
I kiboshed it.
And there's also, we already know this, they've said this, that it is supposed to be part of a trilogy, so.
Very excited about that.
And the release date for the second one is in May of this year, so we're already getting another one in 5 months.
That's amazing. Well, I mean, Godzilla's taken over the comic book world, anime world, American and Japanese again.
Oh, yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful time.
Gotta spread the word.
Oh, and you know, they're gonna have a whole Monsterverse.
Oh, yeah.
Universal. So, you know, it's a time to be a monster nerd.
He got his store. Sure. He finally got his own store in Japan.
Yeah. And I mean, speaking just on monster nerds in general, I mean, we got a movie who's probably going to the Oscars
this
year. I mean, our boy won a Golden Globe. Is that what was happening?
Guillermo. Golden Globes?
Guillermo, our boy.
Yeah. Yeah.
We talked about it last episode and I said I would post. Or no, was it the episode before? No, it was a Harryhausen one where I said I would post from his museum.
Yeah.
Once again, our boy's getting brought up again.
Yep.
Won a freaking Best Directing Award. Yep.
He did. And he kind of kicked off the MonsterVerse, even though his Pacific Rim is technically not part of the MonsterVerse with Godzilla and the King Kong Skull Island. But that Pacific Rim really kind of helped get kaiju in everyone's mind again.
And I think it, you know, got audiences... cool with it.
Yeah.
Cool with seeing it more and, like, getting excited for it. Because, I mean, it's weird because that's probably, like, the most different of Guillermo's films. Like, you know, he typically goes for a more, like, fantasy-type monster.
Yeah, and his movies are a little bit... the word slow kind of has a negative connotation to it, but his movies are not as usually action-packed as Pacific Rim is.
Yeah. So and it's, as I said, it's like more like fantasy.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, even if there's like, you know, blood and fights and stuff,
yeah,
it's
like
a more like down to earth human, like
cerebral.
Yeah. It's not like big and fabulous.
Like, almost had like a superhero kind of tone to it. I mean, he did. Of course, he did the Hellboy series, the 1 and 2, and he did probably the best of the Blade movies, which was actually critically acclaimed of the Blade movies. But Pacific Rim does not feel like a Guillermo movie. Besides the excellent design of the monsters, those are Guillermo for sure.
Knife head and stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
But he is a great. I think that especially his newest movie is wonderful.
Yeah, Shape of the Water was great.
He's our sci-fi daddy. We already have the Holy Trinity taken. He's just sci-fi daddy.
He's a disciple.
He's a disciple. He's a saint.
Yeah.
Saint Guillermo.
Yeah.
We're just going to fill out a whole chapel.
Yeah, we'll be surrounded by some great people.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we have the Godzilla movie, Planet of Monsters is what it's called. It's coming out tomorrow, Wednesday.
Yes.
And we'll be watching it before you guys even hear this podcast. I'll be editing it, and I won't be able to watch it until later. So.
Yeah, no, I work from home tomorrow, so you better edit fast, because I want to watch.
So yeah, you guys we'll all be graced by the Lord and Savior's presence tomorrow with a new film.
Yes, indeed.
So let's get into one of his older beautiful works that I also love.
Yes, now that we've done housekeeping.
Yes.
Or whatever they say. We're cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, so history on this movie. After the reboot of the Godzilla series with the Return of Godzilla in 1984, which we have talked about before.
Yeah, we did. Go check out that episode.
Go check it out. And its sequel, the well-liked and lackluster box office performing Godzilla vs. Biollante, the Heisei series of Godzilla films was up and running.
Finally.
Finally. Get it off the ground already.
Did we, I haven't shown you Biollante yet, right?
I mean, it sounds familiar, but it could just because we talk about it all the time.
Yeah, I think we may have just talked about it after Return of Godzilla, just because it came after that.
Yeah, so...
it's about a Godzilla fighting a giant plant that is...
Ooh.
The plant is a... It contains Godzilla DNA, so it has...
It's a Godzilla plant.
Yeah.
That is fantastic.
It's kind of a slower movie. It's not really action-packed. It's one of my lesser favorites, but... It's a Godzilla movie, so...
I like Godzilla versus the weird monsters.
Yeah.
My favorite smog monster.
The only thing is, Biollante doesn't really jump around or fight, so it's it's a plant, so it really plays on, like, the science of genetic mutations and stuff like that.
Well, I mean, I like the science-y stuff,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's the cool part. So, yeah.
But I will miss the fights
when
I watch it.
So, this originally started with the writer-director wanting to revive Mothra.
Yes.
They wanted to take the monster that they originally wanted to put in Return of Godzilla, the monster called Bagan, and they wanted to take one of the storylines from there, and he'd been developing this script for over a year, and it never really got past the planning stages at all.
Yeah, Toho rejected it because they thought Mothra would not be marketable overseas.
Yeah, and I guess that has some truth to it. Godzilla's really exponentially more popular overseas. Mothra has a big following in Japan, but Godzilla is the one that really carries the weight of all the other kaiju overseas.
Well, I think especially before the age of the internet...
Yeah.
The only thing known over here was Godzilla. So, I mean, I don't think people over here even knew about Mothra, King Ghidorah. I think it was just like, oh, Godzilla, and he fights his monsters. It's a monster movie. Let's go watch it, you know? And then once the internet came around and people could, you know, check it out, and it was much more accessible.
Yeah, the internet definitely helps fuel fandoms like that. I mean... Godzilla has fought Mothra before, and Godzilla vs. Mothra in the 60s was one of the more popular ones, but, I mean, Godzilla is definitely the more popular of the characters. And,
yeah.
When you don't get films with Mothra in it all the time, like they got films with Godzilla in it all the time back then, it just doesn't really fuel the fandom.
Yeah. So, originally just titled Godzilla 3, Godzilla vs. King Ghidorah was slated from a release in December of 1990, but many factors got in the way, and it was pushed back a full year to when I was born.
Yes. 1991. December 1991. So, that was 2 years after you were born.
Right? What?
2 months, yes. That was 2 months after you were born. So the plot has a lot of little intricacies everywhere. It's very, it's pretty complex, I think, with the time travel, especially since it doesn't really follow its own rules, in its own time travel rules.
It does not, like, there's always the set of time travel rules.
Yeah.
Every time travel movie has. And this movie does not follow its own time travel rules.
Yeah, so basically they... I don't even know where to start.
So once again, another kaiju movie starts in the ocean.
Yeah, as briefly, it starts in the ocean. And we get a glimpse of a dead King Ghidorah. Not really dead, but...
This was confusing. I was like, because I thought it was then.
Yeah.
And then later, it clearly is a flashback.
Yeah, it's just
a flash forward.
We don't really even really need this flashback, because it just kind of cuts to that later anyways. But yeah, we see King Ghidorah on the bottom of the ocean. Missing its middle head, and we don't really know who these people are in this little submarine scoping out this King Ghidorah. And basically we cut back to present day, which even though this movie came out in 1991, present day is 1992 in this movie.
Yes.
And there is a
UFO.
There is a UFO just buzzing around Japan.
Yeah, and just, like, everyone's pretty okay with it.
Yeah, they're like, oh, did you see that UFO? It's like...
Or, like, when they're talking to the guy who's, like, the main character, they were like, oh, I was gonna go over there, but there was a UFO. And the guy's like, oh, that's fine, or something like that. Like, yeah. Just completely ignores the UFO part of the conversation. And it's just like, oh, let's have the other part of the conversation.
Yeah. And so this UFO lands at Mount Fuji.
Yes.
And it ends up being people from the future. They're not actually aliens.
But even though they have an alien spaceship, and then inside of it...
You don't know it's an alien spaceship.
They made it look just like one.
Maybe they designed...
They designed it knowing what 20th century people think looks like UFOs.
They call it a time machine.
Yeah, whatever. And inside of it is another spaceship.
Yeah, they have a little scout ship, whatever. And basically these people come down. They're part of the Earth Union or something. And in the future, the 23rd century, they must come and... make sure that Godzilla doesn't happen, pretty much.
Yeah, they're like, he will destroy Japan. Japan will fall.
Yeah.
And one of these guys looks like L. Ron Hubbard.
Yeah, one of them really looks like L. Ron Hubbard.
And the other guy looks like the Riddler. He's got, like, this really bright green suit on. And
they have really great suits in the future.
Oh, yeah, they're real special. So L. Ron Hubbard is, like, the commander.
And yeah. And we can't forget the cyborg that they bring with them named M-11.
Oh, yes.
The amazing ability to, I guess, skate on the ground. But it looks like it looks like he's skating, but that's just their way of making him look like he runs fast.
But it does not look like he's running fast. It doesn't even look like he's going fast at all.
It's just like... You can't see what I'm doing because this is a podcast, but...
Yeah, but you can hear it with the sound effect.
It's so great, though.
He looks and acts like Michael Fassbender's robot.
A little bit.
Alien.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really comical how they make him run after cars and...
Oh, no, the seed, like, it's not like the practical effects, which are normally amazing in Godzilla movies. It's like the CGI 90s. This is a robot running as fast as a car.
And when he's running, they do, like, this bongo song that's like... It's like his theme, like...
It's supposed to make you think his feet are going that fast.
Yeah, I guess that must be what it
is. His feet are fast as bongos.
That has to be what it is, Elisa. Yeah.
Bongo feet. So, they are told by this old man, Shindo, that when he was in the war,
yeah,
in World War II, that they were on an island.
Yes, and Lagos,
and the Americans were coming and they were going to beat them.
They were surrounded by Americans.
They were surrounded. And Godzillasaurus.
Surrounded by awful acting Americans.
Oh, these Americans they picked for this movie.
They're awful actors.
I was like, do they think that we act like that? Because they were like, there, over there.
Take that, you dinosaur.
Take that, dinosaur.
Here, I'll put some of the worst parts that they said. I'll just put some of their worst lines in now.
Oh, it's a dinosaur! A gigantic dinosaur is attacking our boys!
A dinosaur? What?
Hey!
Got him! Take that, you dinosaur.
Okay, move out, spread out, spread out all around him. He might still be alive.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Watch it, boys.
Wow.
Wow, that's so good.
Wow.
SAG Awards.
We totally listened to that the same time you did right now. And not when we were editing later.
Yeah, I love that. Love the...
the fake reaction. Oh.
Anyways.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So yeah, Shindo is... Who is now, in the future, is like a big businessman. He owns the 48th floor in Tokyo City Hall, which is actually a building that the Japanese hate in the skyline. They hate how big it is. They hate the symbolism that it is of wealth.
Yeah, and when it gets smashed in the movie, the audience is cheered.
Yeah, they must have cheered.
That's actually what it said when I was researching.
Oh, yeah?
When they knocked down, it was supposed to be like a tax building or something. When they knocked it down, audiences cheered.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go. Yeah, I just heard that they hate that building, so I guess that's the reason.
They hate it that much.
So, yeah. So, Shindo, in the past, he was a commander in the Japanese army, and he was surrounded by Americans. And, also on Lagos was Godzillasaurus, and he just happened to be their savior, just like ours.
Yes, and he attacked the Americans who
pushed him back.
Pushed him back with his feet on into the sand.
Yeah, he did. He didn't just push him back to the beach.
He pushed him down.
He squashed him like a bug.
Yeah, pushed him down into the ground.
And he actually gets basically bombed by the battleships off the coast. And they have to leave him. Shindo has a moment with Godzillasaurus.
Yeah, where he's like, "You're a great warrior."
Yeah, and
bye.
They all salute him. It's kind of heartwarming, I thought.
Was nice. But what's really great is when all the Americans are dead, and the guy who's in the ship is like calling, and he's like, "Hey, where are you guys?" And like, no one's responding, and he's like, "Well, we gotta go."
Yeah, the Americans like, "Hey, you guys there? Oh, well, this." Oh, he says, "This island needs more scientists than soldiers."
Yeah, and he's like, "We can't take any more losses or whatever." And it's like, there's only 20 guys on that island. You have like two full battleships.
Yeah, we have. Countless American military movies where we send in hundreds of soldiers to get one guy out of a battlefield.
Yes.
And then we have this scene where he's like, "Well, we lost, we might have lost 50 guys. We're not sure. Maybe their radio just doesn't work. We're not sure, but we're out of here.
We can see a dinosaur."
Yeah, we're not going
from the boat. We aren't coming back.
See ya.
So this is
the dinosaur that becomes Godzilla.
Yes. So, what they're supposed to do is these people who traveled back in time, or they're okay. I thought we were already at that part. We're not. We were just telling the story. Anyway.
So this dinosaur, does in the previous timeline. See, now we're getting into timelines. In the previous timeline, this dinosaur does recover from its wounds. And in 1954, there is a nuclear test on a nearby island, and
in Bikini.
Yeah, in Bikini, and that mutates this dinosaur into Godzilla, which then attacks Tokyo in 1954. Then they disrupt that timeline. The Futurians is what they're called.
Yeah, they convince three people from the present to go back. The guy who's the lead, who's like a journalist or something.
Yeah, he's a writer.
And then there's the guy who they find out in the future the book that that guy wrote is like writes the foreword. He's a professor.
Yeah, he's a professor, and he, I think he's a dinosaur professor or something like that.
Something like that. And then the girl who is part of the paranormal.
Something or other.
The Paranormal Society.
Yeah.
So anyway, so they go back in time, and for some reason, which we find out later, the girl who goes back with them from the Futurians, Emmy, she has like these three flying rats with her.
They're called Door Rats.
Yes.
They look suspiciously gold, and they don't have arms, and they have wings. Who could they be? I don't know.
But they're like really nice and cute. And
yeah, they're like Japanese gremlins, kind of.
Yeah, they're like, they're like, what are those for? And she's like, oh, they make you feel good.
Yeah, that's their only purpose.
Their only purpose in this life is to make you feel good.
And they're like, if you get lost, they'll make you happy. I was like, what? Okay. If we get lost, we're eating those.
Do these have vaginas?
Okay, I don't know where you went dark there. You're gonna fuck a door rat?
Like, it makes you feel better and it makes you feel good when you're lost. Like, oh, what is it for?
Oh boy.
Does it have a mouth?
Yeah, it has needle teeth in there. Okay, so they go back to the future. That's the power of love. And, they find out that Godzilla is gone, which doesn't make sense.
Well, they teleported him.
I know. They teleported Godzilla off of the island, which makes Godzilla not exist anymore because he doesn't get mutated by the bomb. And then they go back to the future. That's the power of love. And he doesn't exist anymore, which doesn't make sense. Because if Godzilla doesn't exist, why are they talking about Godzilla? He wouldn't be on anyone's mind if he never existed. And some people might not even exist at all, because some people wouldn't have been killed, and some people would. It's just.
It's like the butterfly effect.
Yeah,
everything would be different.
Huge, and it's a giant. The 154-foot tall butterfly that's killed millions of people in Tokyo.
Like, it's complicated.
Yeah, and it's fine that they buzz through that, because I'm fine. I'm cool with it, because it's a kaiju movie.
We don't need it.
Yeah.
We don't need it. And so they come back to the future. Back to the future. Don't pay money. And it turns out Godzilla is now under the ocean, and now King Ghidorah is an issue.
Yeah.
Because those little door rats, they left him behind, and they turned into King Ghidorah from the nuclear explosion.
They left the door rats on the island where Godzilla was, and the bomb mutated them into King Ghidorah, which gives King Ghidorah a new origin story in this film. And apparently, it doesn't really matter where you teleport Godzilla, because it's inevitable. Godzilla will exist anyways.
Yeah, he gets nuclear power no matter what. And this time, since it's a modern nuclear bomb from a Russian submarine where he gets his power, he's like 125% bigger than he would have been.
Mm-hmm. And they don't know that yet. So they're like, oh, we need Godzilla back to fight King Ghidorah.
Yeah, because King Ghidorah is tearing shit up.
Yeah.
And then it turns out the Futurians wanted this to happen, and they control King Ghidorah, and they're going to kill everybody.
They're going to kill all of Japan. They have a weird control over the Dorats, and that transfers over to King Ghidorah, even though it mutated. So they send another submarine to hopefully find Godzillasaurus, which they think is Godzillasaurus, but is actually Godzilla. And they want to mutate Godzillasaurus, but it's already Godzilla, so it's even bigger now. Because Godzilla destroys another submarine, so it gets another dose of nuclear radiation. So it's even more powerful. So now we have Godzilla, even more powerful, and he gets to fight King Ghidorah.
Yeah, so
now we're through some really mucky muck of a story. I mean, it's not as mucky when you're watching the movie, but it's hard to fucking explain.
Yeah. So they meet somewhere in Japan, and they battle. And Godzilla eventually beats King Ghidorah and sinks him. But then Godzilla starts tearing up Japan. So then they're like, oh, shit.
Godzilla fucks him up, too.
Yeah, he, like, tears his wing open.
He blows his head off.
Yes. And so they, so they're like, okay, shit, we gotta bring back King Ghidorah to fight Godzilla, because he's tearing everything up.
So we're like, so this oh, is now just we gotta like, bring... it's a teeter-totter.
Yeah, the sign of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results, and you're doing the same thing over and over, you're just bringing back one of the monsters to fight the other monster, because the other monster's too strong. So they are like, okay, so Emmy, you're gonna go back to the future. Don't need no credit card. And so you're going to then, in the future, make King Ghidorah a cyber King Ghidorah. And then you're going to bring him to the past. And
Mecha
gonna,
King Ghidorah.
Mecha King Ghidorah. Cyber King Ghidorah. Doesn't rule. It's the same thing.
No. Because Mecha is used throughout the series.
Okay. Sorry. And so they're going to... She brings it back. It's got another head again.
Yeah. It's got... the middle head is the mech part. And... it's actually like fused with the cyborg guy that they had, like, because it talks like him, and it's like, you can do it, Emmy. Like,
oh yeah, like they put his computer in. Yeah, the, it's weird.
Well, watch out, Emmy. Like,
yeah,
it's pretty funny.
And so they battle again, and Godzilla's still too strong, but this time they just die together.
Yeah,
they die together into the sea.
Well. That's what you think, because at the end, Godzilla's eye opens.
Well, you know, they gotta keep it going.
Yeah.
Godzilla can't die.
Emmy's last effort to her homeland, her ancestors, she flies her busted-ass King Ghidorah over the sea and sinks both of them,
And then she reveals, like, you think that, like, her and the main character have a romantic thing going
on. Yeah, a little bit.
And then she's like, you're my great-great-grandpa. Yeah. And then she leaves.
See ya. I'm just want to drop this weirdness on you.
Yeah, like, you had a boner for me. I'm, like, your granddaughter. Bye.
She did look good in those shorts and boots, though.
What are you going to do? You can't control all your boners.
No, I mean...
I mean, you're going to control every single boner?
Hopefully grandpas can.
I think grandpas can control them the least.
Well, she ain't my granddaughter.
Oh, God.
So Godzilla lives on to fight another day. The next movie in the series is Godzilla Mothra Battle for Earth. So Mothra makes... her first appearance in the Heisei era in the next one. And, yeah, so that's the plot of this film. It's a very convoluted when we try to explain it. I'm sure we missed some stuff. We messed some stuff up.
Yeah.
But you got the gist.
Yeah, I'm sure you got the gist. And I'm sure that, you know, if it sounded good to you and you haven't seen it yet, you'll see it. And if you've already seen it, you probably enjoyed us screwing it up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's got dinosaurs. It's got robots. It's got Godzilla.
It's got time travel. It's got weird incest. It's got all of it. You got to see it now.
It's got little jetpacks that go...
Oh, my God. Those jetpacks. I want them. Those, like, that's what I expect a jetpack to be in the future. Not, like, the fire.
Yeah.
And the going, like...
It's a anti-grav pack. That's what it said or something like that.
Yes. So, very delightful film, I think.
It's a great Heisei entry.
It is. And, you know, I am such a fan of the cheesy 90s action films from America that this was such a treat that there was actually a Godzilla version.
Oh, yeah.
Where there's the cheesy 90s action special effects, you know, and there's, you know, the talk and the robot that's weird. And
well, yeah, and the robot was basically trying to be like Terminator, because Terminator was so popular a couple years ago.
Yeah, I mean, they really, you could tell. You could tell they were going for that, because it's like deadpan.
Yeah.
And like, hi, my name is Michael.
M11. He's like, perfect. That was great.
I am happy for you. I am a robot. You can't see me, but I'm just staring at the wall behind Jarrett while I'm saying this thing. It's really weird.
There's a part where the robot's car flips and explodes, and he gets out of the car, and he's like, his clothes are on fire, so he's ripping off the jacket, and you can tell like the jacket was supposed to be like a ripaway jacket like they have in movies and like Broadway and those kind of things, where it's supposed to rip away easy off the actor's body, and the actor's just struggling to get it off, and he finally just takes it off normal.
Yeah. He's like, you can tell the first pull he had trouble with the seam. It's good.
But they left it in the movie.
Oh, it's all fun. I'm sure they were like, it looks like he's really just ripping it all up.
Yeah. I was like, oh, forget it.
So let's get into the production.
Production.
Of this movie. This film was coming off of a sequel that did not do too well.
Violante.
Yes, Violante, which I'm sure you know if you know the series. Even though it saw a profit, it wasn't a good start for a rebooted franchise. The producer, Shogo Tomiyama, felt that once Hero of Japan had lost one of his strongest audiences, the children. So Kazuki Amori wrote a script to bring back some of the more fantastical elements of the Showa series.
Yeah, the Return of Godzilla and Godzilla vs. Biollante, while they have their merits, they really were not fun.
Yeah.
I mean, I like Return of Godzilla for what it is, but Showa series is just, it's the golden era for me.
Well, I mean, Showa has so much to offer. It has so much variety and stuff. But I mean, for sure, I'm sure in Japan it's, the children are a huge demographic.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of the money that comes in. I mean, there's a whole bunch of nerd adults who love it.
Of course, yeah.
But
I mean, it's just like, he's like their Godzilla's like their Spider-Man or something like that. Like,
yeah, and if you had Spider-Man doing taxes in a movie, like, the kids wouldn't like it.
Yeah, I mean, it's
not saying, like, Godzilla fighting a plant is, like, doing taxes.
No, it's a good movie. Biollante's a good movie, but, like,
but you, it's like having a kid watch something that they don't want, that they, you know.
Yeah.
It's not exciting for them.
So, yeah, I mean, Godzilla had that impact, and also, kind of like Spider-Man, adults like Spider-Man, kids like Spider-Man. That's kind of like how Godzilla's impact is on pop culture over there.
Especially with the fantastical elements, as they say, in this new movie with the time travel, the little rats that turn into a giant golden dragon.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit more fantastical and fantasy than some of the earlier dinosaur movies from this. And
also the, like, the monster with the robot, like the blending, like a cyborg, that's what I'm trying to get at. Because they had, in the past, they had Mechagodzilla. He's not a cyborg, but like just the monsters that are like robots and those kind of things, and the monster battles, they're bringing like legit battles back, you know?
Yeah, and it's definitely more childlike, like the Mothra movie we just did.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So this was also to compete with the Back to the Future franchise, hence the time travel. In fact, the director and writer, Kazuki Amori, blamed the lackluster performance of the previous film, Godzilla vs. Biollante, on Back to the Future 2, since it was such a big hit in Japan and came out only a week before it.
Yep. Back to the Future came out December 9th, and this came out December 16th. So the way they space out movies, you know, it's very imperative to how they perform. And you know what, you know what that is? That's the power of love.
Yeah, that's the power of love.
Yeah, Back to the Future was a big hit in Japan, even though it was a foreign movie to them.
Well, I mean, there's foreign movies that are hits.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying American movies do very well over there.
Yeah, it's because, you know, just our studios, the big studios are in Hollywood.
Yeah.
But, you know, Japan has their studios.
Of course. Their blockbusters are very important to them, and some of them do make it over here.
Shin Godzilla was phenomenal.
Well, yeah, Godzilla movies are their blockbusters as well.
Well, I mean, in, like, China is starting to get a pretty big, like, Hollywood-esque scene, so there should be a lot more movies that are big like that coming out of that area.
Yeah, some of them just don't make it over here, too.
That's true. Anyway, this is written and directed by Kazuki Mori. Obviously, we said that. Second ago, and the first Godzilla soundtrack composed by Akira Fukube.
He returns.
Yes, since 1975, and this was because he did not like how his music was used in Biollante. There was like three of his pieces used, and he was not very happy about it.
And he didn't do the film before that because he didn't like that they increased Godzilla's size. We talked about that.
Yes, we did talk about that.
I guess he got over that.
Yeah, and also his daughter told him to do it. Well, not like, you know, you should do it. Like, she asked him.
Yeah.
She asked him nice. And actually, the music he did for this movie was amazing. Like, the harps when, like, Godzilla's rising from the sea. And then when he reaches, like, the full extent, it's like, brr, brr, brr. And it's, like, perfect. And then, like, it's such amazing, like, piano.
Yeah, he changed it up, like, on one of the Godzilla March sequences. Instead of, like, the full orchestra, he just did piano. And it's like, whoa, that it sounds so different, but it's so great how he changed it up with the instruments being used.
Yeah, and it's, you know, crazy that he used so many different instruments just alone.
Yeah.
In a movie, like, you know, it wasn't necessarily consistent as far as, like, you know, how many instruments, what instruments, but it all sounded like it came together. The first appearance of King Ghidorah since 1972, and he was actually chosen for this movie based on popular vote. They had a vote on who Godzilla could fight.
Toho did that a lot.
Yeah, and actually, the winner was picked mostly by men in this.
Oh. That's how Jet Jaguar was picked for his appearance. Like, not necessarily vote, but children sent in their ideas. And
it was just a child idea.
Yeah, that's how Jet Jaguar was picked.
That is fucking amazing.
That's the one cool thing about Jet Jaguar.
He was invented by just a child's mind.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's cool that, I mean, Toho's really closed off, it seems, sometimes, but then they let those things happen.
Well, like, that is so amazing. Like, what else could you think from your childhood was so amazing and cool, and it was so big like that, and you could vote for, like, something as important as that and as a part of your fandom?
Yeah, it's really cool.
That's insane.
Yeah. So,
Jet Jaguar.
Jet Jaguar.
That's like one of my favorite songs ever. Americans were not too keen on this film due to what they viewed to be anti-Americanism when Godzilla killed American soldiers. Even Ishiro Honda said this scene went too far when later there was controversy over this damaging Japanese-American relations.
I don't think it was that bad.
The only thing, like, Ishiro Honda mentioned being, like, too far was just killing, like, American soldiers, like, so many of them in that way. I don't know, like, I mean, I get why, especially because, you know, as we're about to talk about, there was such anti-Japanese sentiment
at
that time.
I think that added to it makes it worse, but when you look at the film, the Americans were the only ones that shot at Godzillasaurus, so Godzillasaurus attacked them.
It's not about that.
I know it's not about that. I know, but I'm just talking about in the context of the film.
It's not about the context of the film.
Okay, I'm just thinking of Godzilla as a real being.
I'm just saying that probably how America saw it.
Yeah, I agree.
But just Japan's killing Americans in their movies.
I just think that they get Americans are really touchy then. So, next. What were you doing?
So, the next is the same thing. The scene contributed to Toho's difficulty in finding American distributors for the film. This, along with the wave of early 90s anti-Japanese sentiment caused by the Japanese boom and the acquisition of many American companies by the Japanese. Examples of this are Sony buying Columbia Pictures, Matsuhita Electronic Industrial Co. buying MCA/Universal. Here is an actual editorial from the Washington Times written during the Japanese takeover. And keep in mind, this is satirical.
Lock the doors and hide the family silver. Here come the Japanese. First, they want to make low-cost, high-quality cars to transport us. Then they want to build lots of plants to employ us. Now they want to make movies to entertain us. And that's going too far, say the critics. Will Japan end up buying us all, wondered USA Today in a front-page article this week. Some critics say the real problem is cultural. The Japanese are, well, different. And who knows what they'll do to our movies. Force us to watch old Godzilla movies or something. Concerns about such cultural, quote-unquote, differences may help explain why nobody so much as peeped when an Italian financier swallowed up MGM Communication for $1.3 billion earlier this month.
See here?
See here?
See here? The Japanese coming to get us now.
Oh, they're gonna get us. Why are they gonna get us?
They're building these cars that don't break. They're making products that anyone really wants to buy.
Why would they build nice cars for us that are cheap?
The parts don't break as easy. I want to keep my Ford truck, you hear?
Why would they give us jobs? Why would I want that?
Why would I want a job here, you see? You see here? This was a terrible bit. And now for special effects.
Yeah.
Although we actually have a little less to say this time, surprisingly, for a Godzilla movie, because the special effects director was the same as the last movie.
Yeah, Koichi Kawakita was the director of the special effects, so we kind of covered that a little bit on Rebirth of Mothra.
Yeah, like his background, how he started in the Showa era.
Yeah, he started as an assistant special effects cameraman on King Kong versus Godzilla way back in the 60s.
He did the special effects for Ultraman. He did it for Zone Fighter. He was assistant special effects director on Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla in 74. But his main body of work is in the Heisei era.
Yep. He started it with Godzilla versus Biollante, of course, King Ghidorah, and the next movie, Godzilla and Mothra, Battle for Earth, Godzilla, Mechagodzilla 2. He skipped Space Godzilla and then worked on Destoroyah, and then, of course, Rebirth of Mothra 1 and 2. He did not do Rebirth of Mothra 3, as we said before.
Yes. Godzillasaurus's roar in this movie is the same as Gamera's.
Yeah, I knew it was familiar when I was hearing it.
It's kinda... Yeah, I did not notice it at all. I was surprised.
Especially when he was getting hit with the shells from the battleships, like when it was like he was in pain, kind of. Mm-hmm. Sounded like Gamera.
And also in the Godzillasaurus special effects, they used real octopus blood for his wounds to make them look more real.
They used real octopus a lot in Toho movies.
Why octopus?
I don't know. Well, for one thing, it's a delicacy in Japan.
But, like, but, why would they use it as special effects blood?
I don't know.
Was it especially red?
Well, for one thing, I know for a fact that they eat it all the time on set because... because, for one thing, at least in the Showa era, Godzilla vs. King Kong, he fights a octopus. And there's one not used in the fighting scene, but like the scene leading up to where King Kong fights a giant octopus. Mm-hmm. There's a real octopus going through a miniature city. And Ishiro Honda's like, yeah, see that octopus? We ate it after that scene.
That makes me so sad.
Why?
Because octopi are intelligent.
You do love octopi. I forgot about that.
I love the octopi. They can change colors.
All cephalopods are really, really smart, but octopi are the cutest. Well, cuttlefish are pretty cute.
Yeah.
But they eat them all the time over there. I do not like any cephalopod for any food. It's kind of tasteless and spongy. Or I don't know. Anyway.
Okay. So Mecha Mecha King Ghidorah's suit was so heavy they could only operate it with wires instead of having someone wear the suit. And that is why you never see it walk.
That's, you know, I didn't even notice that.
Neither did I. When I read that fact, I was like, that is really interesting. Because, like, I was wondering if it was, like, a puppet or, you know, what it was. Because I was trying to figure it out. Because I could tell the tail, when Godzilla grabbed it, was definitely a suit.
Mm-hmm.
Because when he grabbed it, you could tell from the way it, like, dipped in.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, with the heads and everything and the way it moved, I was really interested, and that gave me some answers.
It kind of, now that I know, I'm like, oh, that's a pity. I kind of want to see it walk now. But after watching it, I'm like, oh, I didn't really miss much. But after knowing that, I'm like, oh, they could have done so much more now that I know that it couldn't walk. But, It does kind of just, now that I know that, I want to go watch it again. I was like, oh, now it's just standing there.
No, now you're going to criticize it after you watch it again. Just wait till you forget, and the next time you watch it, and then it'll just be good, and you won't have to think about it.
Yeah, I mean, they give it more stuff to do anyways. Like,
yeah, because, I mean, the whole time you're not really paying attention because they're cutting back and forth between Emmy and the suit and the lasers and all this stuff's going on, so you don't really... You're not just, like, doing wide shots of a monster battle.
I wonder if it's just Mechagodzilla's suit. I wonder if King just... Oh, did I say Mechagodzilla?
It's...
I wonder if it was just Mecha King Ghidorah's suit, and if the regular King Ghidorah's suit, they had someone in there.
I think they did, because they just said Mecha King Ghidorah.
Yeah, because I think I've seen photos of King Ghidorah with someone in it, and I feel like there was some walking in that suit. I don't know. Anyways, the Mecha King Ghidorah had way more to do because they had, like, the little grasper things that came out.
Yeah.
Like, handcuffs. I don't to not have a better term for it. But, yeah, it had, like, more, like, had better beams and stuff, so.
Yeah.
And it was in a city, so, I mean, there's more distractions than in the field where it was just regular King Ghidorah, so.
Yeah, exactly. So the Godzilla suits used in Godzilla vs. Biollante were reused in Godzilla vs. King Ghidorah, although they were changed. The original suit used for land-based and full-body shots had its head replaced with a wider and flatter one, and the body cut in half. The upper half was used in scenes where Godzilla emerges from the sea and during close-ups during the character's first fight with King Ghidorah. The suit used previously for the scenes set at sea was modified with rounder shoulders, a more prominent chest, and an enhanced face, and was used throughout the majority of the film's Godzilla scenes. Godzillasaurus was designed as more of a paleontological, accurate-looking dinosaur, and Godzilla itself as a nod to American filmmakers aspiring to direct their own Godzilla films with the intention of making the monster more realistic, which they failed at. 1998 Godzilla, you fucking suck.
Yeah, you inspired some bad filmmakers.
Oof. I'm sure they didn't mean to do that.
No.
Amori's original draft specified the dinosaur that would become Godzilla was a T-Rex, although this was rejected by creature designer Shinji Nishikawa, who stated that he couldn't accept that a T-Rex would become Godzilla.
I like that the creature designer had the final say.
Well, I love that, you know, in Toho, it's just basically like those people own their department.
Yeah, they're like, nope.
Nope. Sorry, director. I don't like it.
Yeah, even it's funny because, like, the original designs for Godzilla was he was a even though his name Gojira means gorilla whale, the the original mismatch of dinosaurs was T-Rex and Stegosaurus because of the plates on his back. That was the Stegosaurus part. So originally it was kind of a T-Rex, but they were like, nah, we're just going to create our own dinosaur.
Yeah, and I mean, it does look probably the closest to a T-Rex.
Yeah,
but I mean, you can tell the differences in the head and the face and the neck and, you know.
There's tons of bipedal predatory dinosaurs, but yeah, T-Rex is the most popular. So I think it's kind of cool that they created their own species.
Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah.
And it definitely looks like a good transition into Godzilla.
Yeah, it has the kind of primitive spines on the back that you can kind of see are going to become those big Godzilla spines.
Yeah, and the face is like a more animalistic face because when he turns into Godzilla, he's got those big eyes.
Yeah.
You know, that aren't natural for, I guess, like the normal animals in the film.
He almost has like a little bit of his nose is kind of like a cat's nose. He has those little puffs of cheek, and then the eyes are looking straight ahead.
And the jaws and the jowls are like big and mean, and like when he is the dinosaur, it looks way different. You'd have to do a side by side comparison of the faces for you to get the full experience.
Maybe we'll do a side by side on Twitter or something.
Yeah, Jared will set it up, send it out, tag everybody.
Every single follower.
Everybody. The final suit combined features of T-Rex with Godzilla. Because the Godzillasaurus's arms were much smaller than Godzilla's, suit performer Wataru Fukuda had to operate them with levers within the costume.
I couldn't even tell that he would have to do that. I mean, the arms look just as mobile as Godzilla's are, which is not that mobile. But
well, I mean, maybe they were more in front.
They are
than
a
they
lot.
Were on the side. Like, I mean, humans, their arms come out on the sides.
Yeah.
So maybe he had to like do this.
They are a lot smaller than Godzilla's, though. Godzilla's are more adept for battle and stuff like that.
Yeah. So I just assume they probably didn't go the way humans' arms go.
Yeah.
And they were too small to like fit.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. But yes, that is Godzilla versus King Ghidorah and
in a nutshell. In a convoluted timeline of I don't know.
That's been a one and done.
It's a very fun movie.
It's a great movie. As I said in the beginning, it is definitely my top three. We really should like do a list sometime.
Yeah, we could do a list. It would take me longer. I don't know. You would have to see more, I think.
I will. But yes, it was very fun to watch this movie and do this episode.
Yeah.
Definitely learned some very fun things about King Ghidorah.
Yeah. I love this movie. So
definitely learned an interesting canon backstory. King Ghidorah came from some flying rats.
Yeah. So, instead of his space backstory, which is
You know what? Sorry guys, but you put another story sooner. That's canon. So now it's space. Now it's not space rats. Now it's flying rats.
Well, all the eras are different. They're not all canon to each other. So
Jarrett.
No.
Canon?
No.
Flying rats.
Canon is a different term when you're talking about Godzilla.
Ugh.
Sorry.
Canon flying rats.
Especially since King Ghidorah shows up in a different era later. So, I don't know. So, your theory about
things being canon?
Yeah.
is wrong? Anyway, thank you so much for listening. This was a very fun episode. We always have fun. Always a good time. So, yes, if you would like to donate to our Patreon, we are at patreon.com/sfdfdi podcast. And there are lots of fun rewards for everybody.
And, you know, one thing about that Patreon is that's the power of love.
Ha 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 ha!
And that power of love will help everything out for us. We just recently stepped up some of our equipment, so we hope that this episode sounds a little bit better for you.
Yes, so. And I've, you know, been doing a lot of work on the back end programming.
Yeah.
Fun and times, analytics.
Just dropped a new shirt last week, and we're going to drop a new shirt this week.
And we have stickers, and we're going to get more stickers, and we're going to start doing bonus episodes.
Yeah, some of those stickers. And
we're going to do bonus episodes based on, like, cryptid stories and alien stories.
Yeah.
And different stuff like that. So you're gonna want to hear it all. And
you can't whisper.
I can whisper. You're going to hear it all. Anyway. Thanks for listening.
Some of those stickers and t-shirts you can also get with just a little bit of the Patreonage.
Yes, and if you just want a shirt or just want a sticker,
you can do that as well.
You can do that too. We love you no matter what.
Yeah.
And Godzilla loves you no matter what.
Yeah, of course.
You know
he
that
does.
Godzilla's watching you.
He protects you even if you do not believe in him.
He knows when you are sleeping. He knows when you're awake.
Yep.
He knows if you've been bad or good.
So it'll be good for goodness sake.
Yes. So thanks for listening.
Yeah.
And we'll see you on the other side.
Praise Godzilla.
Praise Godzilla.
Praise him.
Praise him.
Ah, Godzilla is an awesome Godzilla.
Godzilla.
Praise him.
Movies playing next at Sci-Fi Double Feature Drive-In on Instagram, Facebook, and our website, justaddthat.com. Catch us on Twitter at SFDFDI Podcast.
We sure hope you enjoyed the movie. Thank you for joining us. As always, we're glad to have you. Please replace your speaker, dispense of all trash, and watch for children as you carefully exit our theater. Good night.